16 to 23. Out of 13 letters that Paul wrote in the Bible, six of them deal in the very beginning with the subject of thankfulness. Let us pray. Lord, I commit your word to you this morning. As I present this message, I pray, God, that our hearts would be challenged. Not only our hearts, but our minds would be changed. And we would see the importance of thankfulness and the power of God in our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
Amen. So out of these 13 letters that Paul wrote, six in the very beginning, the first chapter, talk about thankfulness. But it's not general thankfulness. It's specific thankfulness about people, about relationships. Paul cared about the people in his life. And we also need to care about the people that come to our life. The problem is, most of us have many people in our life. And if a new person comes into our life and we don't have time, what do? We get rid of another person. There's not enough time to love and care for everyone. So one of the things that we have to understand is that when visitors come to our church, we need to reach out to them. And sometimes we need to go the extra mile to try to connect with new people that God brings into our path. Today we live in a society where you go to work and you come home, you drive into your garage, and you don't even know your neighbors. But Christians are called to build relationships and build bridges with other people. We are relational beings. Relationship is important. And in Ephesians, Paul is talking about relationships a lot. We live in Washington, D.C. Isn't that cool? This is the capital of the nation. And we also have the Washington Monument. How many of you have been to the top of the Washington Monument? How many? Look around. Look how many. Can you go there now? No, because the elevator is broken. But if you go to the Washington Monument and you get to look, you see Washington, D.C. You see a bird's eye view of Washington, D.C. Now, you don't see everything in Washington, D.C. I don't think you can see the Chinese church. But you can see a whole lot, and you have a good picture of what the city is about. How many of y'all have been to London? Any of you? Have you been to the Eye in London? Anybody? A few of you. What is the Eye? Well, the Eye is a Ferris wheel. And there's 32, it's 500 feet tall. There's 32 of them, and 20 people can fit in each capsule. And you go up, and you can see Big Ben, you can see churches and abbeys and important buildings and parks all above the River Thames. It's beautiful. How many of you have seen that? Have been on that before? Look around. Raise your hand. I want to know. Look how many. That is pretty cool, isn't it? And when you get to go to the Washington Monument and the Eye in London, you see a panorama, a picture of the city. In the same way, the letter to the Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, is a panorama of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a majestic and sweeping picture of what the gospel is all about. This week, I want you to read Ephesians. This week, I want you to read the letter to the Ephesians, and I want you to Facebook, email, text, tweet, Instagram, someone your favorite verse. Charles, me, Joanne, Linda, Tom, any of the board members or your friends, I want you to communicate with someone a verse that influenced you from reading in this wonderful book. Ephesians paints this beautiful picture. It talks about God's nature. It talks about the world that we live in. It talks about our spiritual death without Christ. It talks about new life in Christ. It talks about salvation. It talks about the Holy Spirit. It talks about the unity of the Christian community. It talks about Christian behavior. It talks about sexuality. It talks about marriage. It talks about spiritual warfare. Ephesians is a dynamic letter that Paul wrote. And he wanted to write Christians in an important city of the time. Ephesus was a city that was a religious center, it was a commercial center, it was a cultural center in Asia Minor. A great city. But Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, says something about his condition as he writes this letter. Where is Paul when he writes this letter? Does anyone know where Paul was at when he writes Ephesians? Paul is in Rome. He's in prison. And the Bible tells us he is in chains. He is an ambassador in chains in chapter 6 of Ephesians. And why is he in chains? The Bible tells us that he's in chains so he can declare the gospel fearlessly. And he asked for prayer. He said, pray for me, Ephesian church, so I can proclaim the gospel fearlessly. Let me ask you, what do you pray for? Yeah. What do you pray for? What's so important to you? Every Christian that is a thankful Christian, one of the most important things in our life is to communicate the life of Jesus Christ to those who do not know Jesus Christ. We are not a club. This is not a membership club. This is a life and death encounter where we walk with God and we reach other people that are lost, that need Jesus Christ. What does a healthy church look like? Do you know? What do you think? What is a healthy church? Some people think it's the number of baptisms that makes a healthy church. Some people think it's the money coming in. Do you know there are some churches that have a matrix, a mathematical matrix? They count the number of people, and then they say, okay, if we get $50 per person per Sunday, we're good. But if the matrix goes down to 37, they say, oh, it's a bad Sunday. Is money a sign of a healthy church? Is the number of visitors? How about, is the number of hands that are raised? Is that the sign of a healthy church? Is it the beautiful worship? How many of you lead worship? Worship leaders. Where's Aaron? Where's Aaron? Where's Aaron? Raise your hand. There. Is that the sign? You know, we could put smoke up here and you wouldn't have to play as much. You know, some churches have smoke and clouds. I'm not complaining about that. But is that the sign of a healthy church? Is it good preaching? Is that the sign of a healthy church? Is it the number of people we feed? What makes a church healthy? I think Paul understood this. And in the first chapter, he identifies two things that are essential for a healthy church. A life of thankfulness. A life of thankfulness, of gratitude. And knowing the power of God. Knowing the power of God that transformed you and gave you new life in Christ. That makes for a healthy church. If you come to church and you don't know the power of God, I don't know why you come. If you come to church and you're not thankful, if you're not a thankful person, what did Jesus do in your life? These two things, as Christians, we need to strive to hold unto. Thankfulness, the joy of God, and the power of God. Some people feel obligated to come to church, like they have to. Some people come to church and they like to complain. They like to complain about the preacher. They like to complain about the food. They like to complain about the administrator. They like to complain about the head deacon. They like to complain about the little children that are talking or the babies crying. It's okay to have a baby crying in church, isn't it? People like to complain. They like to complain about their brother and sister. We come to church not to complain, but to serve and to love. We come to church with thanksgiving in our hearts. We come to church to experience the power of God. Now, it's okay to complain. It is okay to complain if you have thanksgiving in your heart and you're trusting in the power of God and you do it in a way that does not hurt others. This morning I want to ask you, are you a Christian with thanksgiving in your heart or a complaining Christian? Are you a bitter critic that always sees things that you don't like? When you're old in a church, I think you ought to pray more and perhaps talk less and let younger people begin to take on the leadership of the church. I know churches that are paralyzed because the elderly don't want to lose control, and they keep control until they're 100 years old, and then the young people are 80 years old. God help us! If that's what we do, we need to be thankful and release opportunity to the young. Some people have this mindset, which I call stinking thinking. Everything they think is bitter and critical, and that's not a good thing. Are you a believer who worries about things you don't have? You worry about things you don't have. But as Christians, we should be thankful for those things that we do have. We should have gratitude. My first point this morning is this: the power of thankfulness. Looking at verse 15 to 16. For this reason, Paul writes, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Paul, the apostle in Rome in prison, writes a letter. He's not complaining about his chains. He says, I'm thankful because of two things. Because of the faith that you have in Christ and the love for all God's people that you have. I wish that we would be like that too. I wish that our faith would be strong. I wish that we would love people strongly. Do you know any new believers in the church? Have you met any visitors? Have you gone up to them and welcomed them? It's the new members in the church, the new people being baptized. When you go downstairs, seek them out. Hug them. Welcome them. We have visitors coming in. Floyd came in. God answered his prayer, gave him a job. He's in our church. Have you welcomed him? God calls us to welcome others, the new people. But you know, we have also old people in our church, don't we? How many of you look at the bulletin? you look at the bulletin, and it says, pray for our brothers and sisters. We have many brothers and sisters that are not here, that are in nursing homes. One died recently. Didi On, Bement, Brother Wong, Marcus Koo, Mei Zung, Yin Ping He, Alice Ng, Mary Hsu, Ruth Wong, Terry Jig, Cam Sao Wong, Sao Ying Wong, and others. On Wednesdays, in this church, at 11:45, Charles, we pray, don't we? Joanna, we pray, don't we? If we're here, I don't think we missed one time, have we? Every week on Wednesdays, we pray in this church, and we pray for these prayer needs. If you're in town, come by and visit us at 11:45. Or if you're in your house or at work at 11:45, pray with us because God hears our prayer. Old people, we love. We should not forget them. Even if they're not in church. Thankfulness. Thankful, Paul was, that the people loved others. God help us to be a loving people. Friday, I was out. My wife was gone. She was in San Diego working with friends, having a good time, eating nice food while I cooked frozen kimchi jiaozi. Very easy to do. Just put a little oil in the pot and shake it up. And wonderful, wonderful taste. We can have that for lunch, Joe. Where are you at? I'll make that for you. I was walking my dog and met my neighbor, Mark. And amazingly, I said, you know, I'm working on my sermon. And he said this to me. First thing he said, America is not very friendly to Christian belief. And there is some truth to that. We live in a society that in many ways is choosing evil paths today. They don't like the idea of judgment, a final accounting before God. They want freedom to do what they want to do. They don't like the idea that there's real truth and real evil. They don't like the Ten Commandments. They don't like purity. They don't like holiness. It's considered strange today to many people. Our culture more and more is rejecting biblical truth and ideas, rejecting God. If you say, well, it's not good to beat your wife, or it's not good to do this, or it's not good to do this, they look at you and they say, don't judge me. You know, don't ever let anybody tell you that, because when you give someone advice, you care for them, don't you? You love them. It's not judgment, it's love. We live at a time when women are not honored. We should honor women. We should treat women respectfully and kindly. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy to care for older women as mothers and younger women as sisters in all purity. But look at the news today, where women are mistreated and raped and assaulted by politicians and celebrities, even clergy. God help us, because our culture is permitting this. I feel for women, because if it's difficult to have faith when you're betrayed, think how hard it is to have belief in a loving father if the men in your life have abused you. That's hard. It's not easy. So I usually believe the women. I'll be honest with you. If women say something, I believe it. I believe it. I have a default belief for someone who comes to me with a story of abuse. You know, I wonder that in China, the Chinese political leaders, do you have so much garbage? Do you have the same amount of evil and stuff going on? I don't know. Who knows? I wonder if Jin Xiaoping is a person that's unfaithful and has been abusive to women in his life. I hope not. I hope not. In my experience, when I was in China, most of the Chinese people I knew were honorable people. Maybe I met the wrong people. I don't know. But that's just my opinion. Paul writes in verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Paul is overflowing with prayer and joyful thanksgiving, hoping for the people in Ephesus. This is a very pastoral letter, a very sensitive letter. Paul is revealing who he is, the things that he cares about. He loves the people in Ephesus. And he's trying hard to help them to grow, and this growth takes place through prayer. And he's asked God to give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that's my prayer for you as a church. May God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. What happens in a church does not happen by accident. Many, many times in this church, I've encouraged you, get training. Go out and learn. Take classes online. If you serve in the church, develop your skill set. If you're a musician, go to meetings with other musicians and be challenged to grow. If you're a church administrator, you learn the new techniques of administration. If you're on the board, learn how successful boards function. If you're a preacher, learn to preach better. If you do Bible studies, learn how to do a good Bible study. In a church, we need to be pushing forward to expand our knowledge base. Theology and church history. If you're not reading about other Christians, what are you doing? When we become a Christian, we just don't stop growing. We have to continue growing and learning about the saints, Christian leaders. If I were a Chinese person, I wish I could speak Chinese. My Chinese is bad. But if I were Chinese, I would read some of the sermons of the great Chinese preachers. I would read about Wang Mingdao. I would read his biography. I would read about John Sung, who studied in America. And who was a lost man going to a liberal seminary, and he goes into a church in New York City, walks into the church, and there's a young girl preaching the gospel. And he bows down and says, I receive you, Jesus. And he goes back to China to become one of the greatest Chinese preachers in history. Do you know about that person? Have you read about that person? You should. The power of God is connected to thankfulness. Paul's in prison, in chains, but you know what he talks about? He talks about the incomparable power of God. You know, some of you are in chains. It might be cancer. It might be a relationship. It might be something else. But when Paul was in chains, he told the Ephesians, I want to tell you about the incomparable power of God. This is a profound text. I've been in the military. I served in the military. I've been in Afghanistan as a military chaplain. I've seen people die. I know humans can be evil and wicked. I know humans use weapons. They make weapons. We have chemical weapons, biological weapons, nuclear weapons. We have guns everywhere. We have 600 people who are dead in Chicago because of weapons. We have cars that run people over, trucks that run people over, handguns that kill people, and people kill people with their hands. We live in a brutal world. But Paul was not fascinated with that kind of power. You know the kind of power Paul talked about? He was fascinated with the power of God that brings a dead man to life, that resurrects Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the indication of how great God is. If you're in this church, you're connected to the greatest power in the universe, that created the universe, the power of Almighty God. Paul says in verse 19, and his incomparable great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. The power of God is not only in this age. It's when you're dead and you rise again. That's the power of God. Some people think Christians are weak. I was reading recently in South China newspaper, South China Morning Post. You know which one I'm talking about, published in Guangzhou. And they were saying that in the villages in China now, they're asking, the government has asked some of the Christian churches to take down the cross and put up Xi Jinping's face, his picture. Put it on the wall in the church. I want to put Charles's picture there. You know something? The power of God is more than any human being. Human beings come and go. They die. God's power is so much larger. I pray for the president of China, Xi. I pray for him. I pray for his family. I pray for Communist Party members that more and more will believe in Jesus. Do you? The Bible says you should pray for your enemy, the people that hurt you. Do you pray for them? I pray the Chinese embassy in this city, there will be believers, and they will know they are loved by God. They don't have to come here to this church. You know why? We might take their picture and then put it on the Facebook. But they can go to another church, and no one will know them, and they can receive Jesus Christ. They can be saved by the power of God. That's my prayer. What's your prayer? Verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We are the body of Jesus. We are the fullness of Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have a doctor? Everybody, right? Do you know many doctors that don't have patients? Not many. No. So if you don't have patients, then you don't know the power of that doctor. But Jesus is our Savior, isn't he? But if you don't have anybody that needs to be saved, is he a savior? That's a good question for you. Jesus is our savior. And when he saves us, we become part of the body of Christ. But if there's nobody that needs to be saved, there's no body of Christ. That's a good question. You should read the scripture again. We are his body, the body of Christ. And we also become a reflection of the measure of his power. His power is revealed in us individually and as a group. So the power of God is in you if you're a believer. But it's also in this group. And let me tell you, a group like this is so powerful. We can influence China. We can influence Washington, D.C. if we are faithful and listen to God's call in our life. In this church here today, there are people that God wants to call to send, to serve in a way that is sacrificial. He wants people to get education. He wants people to reach out to others. He wants people here to tell other people about Jesus. Are you willing to do that? Let us pray. Lord God, this morning, my sermon is a tough sermon, but I know that you're speaking to people. And I'm going to ask people to raise their hands and put them down if this sermon has touched you. If you are willing to respond to the call of God in your life, if you are willing to go where God wants you to go in life, raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Raise your hand all over. If you're willing to surrender to God, raise your hand. Put it down. Lord God, you know this morning all over this church, people have raised their hands. People want to follow you, want to surrender to you, want to go where you want them to go, want to achieve and secure the training that they need to be effective and efficient in the kingdom of God. Lord, open the doors. Open the doors for them. Open the way. Your power is great. We are your children. Lead us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.